Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop, which is taking place on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer to sign up. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to identify simple solutions and systems that will make a massive difference and ripple effect inside of your center. I'm going to help you create efficiency where you need it most and understand what is causing your school to feel so hectic and where those big pain points are. We're going to clarify your center's priority system to improve this summer. I'm going to show you how to audit those systems. We're going to define your desired outcomes, and you're going to leave the workshop with a simple plan that will make huge impact. And by simple, I mean very simple. No complex, no multi-step processes, super, super simple. No one has time for long things. No one has brain capacity for extra stuff. We need simple things that have massive impact. Go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer and I'll see you there.
Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, where we have conversations about education, leadership, and building a school of excellence. The goal on this show is to bring you clarity, uplevel your mindset, and give you practical strategies and inspiration so you can show up with confidence and trust your decision-making. I'm Chani Olshansky. I'm a mom of four under 10, a former New Yorker, and been in the early childhood field my entire life. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this conversation.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Schools of Excellence podcast. So this is our third episode in our five-part series on the paradoxes of school leadership. So if you have not been joining us in order so far, please pause this episode, go back and listen to the first one on my introduction to what the paradoxes of school leadership are. Last episode, we spoke about the paradox of choice. And today we are going to be talking about the paradox of success. So the paradox of success really reveals itself in this intricate play and this intricate really interplay between achieving all of these great things and reaching all these different mile markers and milestones that you wanted to create for yourself. And then you recognize, one second, this is not actually such a straightforward path. So when child cares are working to achieve certain goals that they have for themselves, whether that's more enrollment, more centers, more profit, more peace, more staff, more brand equity in the marketplace, all of these things, every single one of those mile markers of success bring its own challenges, right? It all brings its own challenges. So what happens a lot is, especially from the research on the psychological dimensions of success, is as you become more successful, different things come to play. Imposter syndrome, where individuals have achieved great levels of success, now feel like they don't deserve it. They shouldn't have it. Maybe I'm not as competent as my accomplishments say I actually am. They have this pursuit of success, which actually then leads them to be burnt out and overstressed and struggling with managing their well-being and all of these other factors. And so achieving success, maintaining success, while also maintaining other aspects of your life that are important to you, like your family, your faith, your children, other aspects of your like mental health, your wellness, whatever it is, that becomes the paradox, right? That becomes that game that you're trying to play where you're like, one second, I thought I wanted all these things, but all of these things came at a cost with a price tag that I wasn't ready to pay. But you didn't even understand that that was going to be the price of admission, because when you were entering or setting that goal for success, your viewpoint and your perspective and just your vision of the world at that moment was blocked by a lot of factors. So think about, again, achieving different levels of success as you start at kind of the basement, the ground level inside of this hotel, right? And then as you achieve these different levels of success, you get to all of these different floors, and every floor reveals a new vision of, whoa, okay. And then at this level, we do these things, right? Then you come to certain levels and it's like, oh, you need a certain card to kind of get unlocked to the club access. And it's like, well, where is that thing? There's always this next level of success. There's always this other door that you're trying to get into if you want to play that rat race of success, right? And so today I want to really speak to how the paradox of success really shows up inside of child cares. So I was on a call with a couple of owners several weeks ago, and there were two different owners. One had just recently purchased their second location, and another one had actually just recently sold her second location. And they were kind of having this conversation on the call. And so the person who was selling their second location was actually speaking to how when she purchased it originally, she felt like, am I enough? Is this enough? Now I just bought this second location. Do I like feel all the euphoric feelings that I thought I was going to be experiencing, right? And then this other owner was sharing how they had just purchased the second location, and now she was dealing with all these identity struggles. Which role does she step into? Because she's like the owner, and now she's also the director of this location until she finds someone else. And all of this was happening while her mom was entering a new phase of aging that required her to step in a whole new way. And I find this to be very true with the paradox of success. Sometimes we live in this illusion that success will come to us at these moments that we're most ready for them or we most desire them. And the reality of life is sometimes we get a big promotion, and this happened to a client of ours. They gave a promotion to one of their directors, and a couple of days later, she found that her dad had terminal stage 4 prostate cancer. And actually, this promotion now was really going to be in conflict with the new responsibilities that she was going to have given the circumstances that just presented itself in her life. Another client that I worked with one-on-one opened her 17th location. And so now she was overseeing this giant corporation. She had all these new responsibilities. And a couple days after opening up her 17th location, her sister, who was also her best friend, told her, she's like, listen, I'm going through domestic abuse right now and violence. And I actually need a safe place to stay with my babies. This is life. It is full of many layers of things that we don't predict for when success comes knocking on our doors. So we have success knocking on our doors of like, oh, we've achieved this pinnacle of success. We have this next location. We have more kids. We opened it up with our classroom. And then life comes also. And it's like, hey, remember, you also have life. You have a mom and a dad and a sister and this thing, and you have a pet and you have this, and you have all these different things that are going on in your life that are also kind of playing and rolling into the punches of the beautiful moments of success that get presented to you. And I find a lot of times our minds then start to create a story. This is what happens again in the paradox of success. So you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you've not achieved some level of success inside of your life, in your business, in your childcare center. Okay. And so when we achieve certain levels of success and then we feel the paradox, right? Something else comes into our life. Something else hard is something we experience. Our minds begin to tell us a story. You see, this is why you should play small. Stay small, do little things. When you do little things, these problems won't come at you. Like, stop playing so big. Why do you have such a big vision, right? And we start telling ourselves all these stories. Lies, 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 lies. They are not true. Because here's the truth. No amount of playing small will protect you from the challenges that are meant for you to grow from. I will say that again. No amount of playing small will protect you from the challenges that are meant for you to grow from. No amount of it. And so this is why we sit and we learn how to sit in the discomfort. Because far too often we think that success will feel only euphoric and only amazing, when the reality is that many times success comes with feelings of grief, of loss, of pain, of angst, of turmoil, of discomfort, of suffering, of loss, of needing to make new decisions. And we feel blindsided by success. We feel like, what just happened here? I thought I was going to feel all these things when this happened. Actually not. Actually not. So let's talk some like tangible components of where the paradox of success comes in childcare. So you become really successful. And then one of the inevitable things that happen when you become successful is there is an increase in demand and enrollment. More parents are choosing your center. Okay. It is a testament to the quality of the service that you provide. However, okay, flip side, with this increase comes a unique set of challenges. Managing capacity and ensuring individualized attention becomes very complex, right? Because now you have to find ways to accommodate more children while maintaining the intimate personalized care that you promised was what your center was about, which is what made you successful to begin with. And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves, which is, does my vision start to shift as I achieve new levels of success? Do my goals start to shift as I achieve new levels of success? There's not a right or wrong answer to this question. It's about bringing us to an awareness of each layer of success brings new questions, brings new emotions, brings new experiences and new feelings that we have to learn how to navigate and sit in. All right, let's look at another paradox. Managing high expectations from parents. Success in the childcare center, right, in the childcare sector, leads to heightened expectations from our families. As your center reputation grows, parents naturally expect that the quality of care and education will continue to excel. They start to demand more communication, more transparency, more personalized attention, and managing the increased expectation is challenging. It's very challenging. It feels like a paradoxical situation where success raises the bar, right? It both raises the bar and the necessities meeting those higher expectations is also raised. And you're like, one second, now everyone wants more from me. No, thank you. Oh, yes, but that's the paradox, right? Because as you become more successful, parents actually have more demands. So people who look at this from a binary way of like, well, then don't do this or don't do that. Or like a lot of people on here are going to be like, well, that's why blah, blah, blah. Stop. Just stop with all the nonsense. Stop. This is not a this or that, this and that. This is a paradox. And that is uncomfortable to sit in because there is no, now just do this instead and then you won't have this problem anymore. False. The paradox of success presents itself because as you achieve certain things, new problems get presented in front of you. And we have many times a delusional viewpoint that success solves all my problems. In the same way that a lot of young people think that money solves all problems, and it doesn't. So I want to invite you here for a moment, while you're listening, wherever you are, to actually step into your inner dialogue and ask yourself, what am I telling myself while Hani's speaking here? Am I saying, oh, well, you know, this is how we solved that problem. You know, when we got the increase of demand, we did blah, 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 blah. And when this happened, we did da, 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 da. And this is all the way we solved this. And this is how we do parent communication, right? Are you answering yourself while you're listening to this podcast, almost like justifying, like, well, that didn't happen to me. And that, or are you listening with an open mind and curiosity of like, it's really interesting. I never realized that that's something that actually came up for us. What was the moment where we, you know, saw an increase in enrollment and I started to frantically kind of move around and try to figure out how I was going to solve this? Am I looking for a solution to this problem? Am I in the thick of it? And as I'm hearing you speak, I'm thinking, oh, I really need to solve this problem. And here's another option while you listen to this episode. Just listen. Just be curious. Just lean in. Just hear what there is to hear about this concept and draw your own conclusions after and learn again what I said in the first episode about the paradoxes of school leadership. Not every problem has a solution. Not every problem has a solution. Not every issue that I'm presenting here has this direct solution. Definitely not one solution. Because depending on where you are, the solution will present itself in a different way, which we'll get into in a moment. Where else does the paradox of success come in? Retaining staff and add-ins in professional development. One of the challenges of running a very successful childcare center is the retention and professional development of your staff, because talented and dedicated educators are attracted to thriving centers. And as the center prospers, these staff members will receive attractive and lucrative offers from their competitors. And so the paradox lies in retaining skilled employees while also supporting their professional growth. This happens a lot. I hear this all the time when I'm at conferences or when I, talk to leaders. They're like, oh, she just got an offer from this person and this person took her, or I can't believe, like, I have the, this amazing leadership team, or it comes from like a scarcity base where I was coaching an owner who owns, was it like 6 or 7 locations? And she was like, I have all these great leaders in place now. They're all amazing. They're all super qualified. I pay them really well. I take care of them really well. She's like, I'm really excited about the trajectory. I sat with her and I said, I'm so happy that you are finding yourself in a position where you have great leaders that can now link arms with you for this next level of success. She said, yeah, I'm really excited. I said, okay, now I have a question for you. What is the story that you're telling yourself about this success? What are the invisible beliefs that you have about your current leadership team? And she's like, oh, that, like, she started to, like, I don't know, ramble and say different things. And I said, no. My question is, because you said you're like, this is amazing. I have this great leadership team. I'm paying them really well. I'm investing in their professional development. I'm doing all of these things and I'm so excited for who I have in place. Why did you tell me all the stuff that you're doing that are contributing to their success? Why was that part of the dialogue? What is the story you're telling yourself about what you just shared with me? It's like, I don't know. Like, she couldn't uncover it. I said, okay, well, I have a hypothesis and let's test it. I think you're telling yourself the story that because I pay them really well, because I take good care of them, because I invest in their professional development, because we are such an amazing company that's invested in culture and leadership and development, therefore, they are not going to leave me. And she just sat there, stunned, couldn't move for a whole minute. And she's like, oh my God, I am telling myself that. That is the story. Like, that is why I'm paying them such a competitive salary, higher than any of the other competitors. That is why I built a whole bonus infrastructure plan. That is why I'm investing in so much of their professional development. And I said, again, investing in their professional development, paying people a competitive salary, giving people bonuses is not a bad thing. You have to know your motives of why you're going after those things. You are doing those things as a quote unquote insurance policy of, you see, I gave you all this, now you can't leave me. So you've achieved this level of success and now you're trying to kind of put all these like parameters in place of like, I've gotten here, how am I going to stay here? Oh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you guys the most amount of money so you won't leave me. Oh, here's what I'm going to do to make sure I keep this level of success. I'm going to consistently invest in your professional development so you won't leave me. Everything is driven from, so you won't leave me. So you won't take away the success that I've built. I said, that's the wrong motive. What you did is fine. It's fine. It's great to pay people well. It's great to give people bonuses. It's great to invest in their professional development. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? What's your motive? Why are you doing it? She's like, well, I'm so afraid. Like, what? I said, well, breathe. You, again, are coming from a place of control, of manipulation, of control, of thinking you control people, that you can control your success by just all these factors here. And now I can control and keep my success. You're not in control of anything. You're not in control of that. You're not in control if people leave. You are not in control. So she's like, well, I don't like this. Like, how do I sit in that, right? It's too much ambiguity. Welcome to life. And there are some things you can think about. There are definitely things you can think about. So what are they? Well, the first step is consistently updating your definition of success. Your definition of success when you first started your childcare center is very different than your definition of success today. I hope it's different. And so as you achieve levels of success, we need to upgrade the operating system, right? So phones go through iOS updates and all these different updates, and your phone and your computer needs to be updated and rebooted. So it has its optimal, engine speed. Your car needs gas and regular oil changes in order to keep functioning appropriately and get you from point A to point B, your definitions of success need updates. Because as you achieve levels of success, we need to redefine what success means at the next level. Because what happens is when you don't update it, you operate from the way that this owner was operating from, which is fear of, well, what if they leave me? Well, what if this? You bring all the insecurities that were living in your preform, and now you've achieved a level of success. Okay, now you need to update that. You need to update your operating system. You can't live in the same insecurity. You need a new updating system. And we don't do that because that requires the pause. That requires intentionality. That requires us to slow down. That requires us to sit in discomfort. That requires us to feel our emotions. That requires us to stop suppressing how we feel, which is all separate conversations from today. So the first thing is really redefining what success looks like. What else? How else do you learn how to sit in the paradox of success in a healthier way? What are your metrics for work ethic and doing a good job? So I'll tell you a quick story to kind of help you see what I'm talking about. So in our household, our kids have different checklists of things that they're responsible for. I call it the boring list because these are the things in life that you just need to do and they're boring and you still need to do them. Because part of being a good human is you need to learn how to do boring stuff, not just the fun stuff all the time, which is, you know, a really important predictor of success, but that's a separate thing. So everyone's got their, you know, checklist. One of the items on Yossi's checklist, and my Yossi is 5, is close and hamper. So there's this thing and phenomenon that exists with young kids that they take their clothes off. And even though the hamper is literally standing right next to them, you know, the clothes just end up on the floor or under the bed or in the closet or I don't know where. And so it's like a very magical situation that happens. So even though the hamper's right there, like the clothes are all around the hamper. And so one of the items on Yossi's boring list is making sure that his clothes, when he removes them from his body to put on pajamas or take a shower or whatever he's doing or going swimming, his clothes go in the hamper. Okay. So that is my metric of doing a good job for a 5-year-old. His clothes need to be in the hamper. Now, my other son, Mendel, he's 13. He also has an item on his list called clothes in hamper. His definition of doing a good job is different because at 13 years old, he has already built the skill to take his pants off and actually put them in the hamper and not leave them on the floor next to his bed because we've been working on that for a while. His metric of success for putting his clothes in the hamper is when he comes home, because he is a 13-year-old boy and it is very hot outside and he likes to disrobe when he comes in, his stuff end up all over the house. So he comes in, he takes off his shoes. After he takes off his shoes, he feels really sweaty and now he wants to take off his socks. And after he takes off his socks, he's like, oh, I'm really hot. I want to take my shirt off. And so, because he wears a button-down white shirt to school. So now he takes his shirt off. And after he takes his shirt off, then he just kind of wanders around the house and, you know, gets other stuff or whatever. So now I have 13-year-old boy socks in the living room and a white shirt somewhere on some table. Either it's on a chair over the dining room, or it's, you know, hung over the couch, or it somehow manages to end up like where my towels are hung up. Like, I don't know, it ends up somewhere. And so his definition of doing a good job is when he takes off his clothing, they end up in the hamper, not in the living room, not under the couch, not in the dining room, not on the hook that where the towel goes. So when I sat down to explain that to him, I explained, this is what your definition of success looks like when you check this box off. This is how you earn this check mark. Why am I saying this story? Besides for being hopefully a very relevant story to whoever's listening, or for some of you that are listening, at different levels of success, at different levels of leadership, success looks different. So a 5-year-old's definition of success looks different than a 13-year-old's definition of success. When you are creating what is a good job inside of your organization and what success looks like, for your young staff, your veteran staff, your new admin, your older admin, your leadership, your regional managers, your executive managers. They all need definitions of success. And they all need vastly different definitions of success, depending on their years of experience, their training, so many factors. What else do we do to learn how to navigate the paradox of success? It's cultivating resilience. Success brings new challenges and setbacks. And developing the resilience to bounce back from failure and see them as opportunities for growth, right, is a powerful indicator that you're being successful. When we're typically looking at the paradox of success and how to work through that, a lot of times the answer that a lot of people will give is like, well, create a better parent communication plan, or create this, or do this, or do. Those are the tactical hell world that you will live in. And you'll never get out of it if you stay in the tactical world. Coming out of that and saying, how do we cultivate resilience in our teams when these different setbacks get thrown at us as we become more successful? So this is a conversation I was having with another leader who's achieved a lot of success in her career. And now she's being slated with different takedown campaigns and some lawsuits coming from staff who she thought was really loyal to her and families. And she's like, I don't understand like what's going on here. Like, I've achieved this level of success. And like, all of a sudden, I feel like everyone's coming at me. Again, part of achieving success is people from the outside will look at it and want to take you down, will want to tear it down. And the response to that, right, is not, oh, we'll just stay small and quiet and don't make a lot of a noise, or make sure you build really good terms and conditions in your contracts, or make sure you have all these, you know, amazing lawyers that are ready to back you up. All those things are important. It's important to have a school lawyer. It's important to have proper terms and conditions. It's important to have a contract. It's important to have all these things. And then what? And then what? And when the person actually emails you and says, I'm taking you to court, now what? Are we leaning on, well, you shoulda, woulda, coulda, butta, whatever? No, that doesn't help you. It's cultivating resilience and knowing that part of achieving success is I'm gonna get takedown campaigns. Part of achieving certain levels of success is people are gonna come after me. Part of achieving certain levels of success is some people are not gonna like it and are going to go after you with different things. And I'm ready for it. And I know how to navigate it. So the last thing I want to touch on when it comes to learning how to really ease your way and manage the paradox of success is learning how to embrace the season of life. Really learning, what season of life are you in? Are you going after a certain level of success that your season of life actually doesn't call for right now? Or you're not equipped for, you're not ready for? You'll notice certain people will speak up or take a stand on certain things when they've built a certain level of credibility in the market. They've built a certain level of credibility in their own self-trust. They're usually a little bit older, kind of in their, you know, mid-40s or early 40s. And there's a lot less like, I'm scared, I don't know, this and that. It's a season of life where you play a little bit more full out. And some people who are in their 30s or in their 20s are playing a different game. And so knowing the season of life that you're in and the game of success that you're going after is really, really, really paramount to your sanity. I know that sometimes we look at certain headlines of like, oh, the 20 billionaires under 20 or the 30 millionaires under 30. And we look at a lot of those things as, that's incredible that they're so young and they achieved all this level of success. Again, success is a paradox. It comes with a price tag. Are you aware of the price of admission for the level of success that you're going after? Sometimes you're aware, sometimes you're not aware. You can't be aware of every single price tag. There's inherent risk in going after anything. But this is why I'm giving you another tool to work through. Ask yourself these questions as you set certain mile markers of success that you want to go after. And lastly, I'll leave you with this, because I like questions. I think questions really, you know, the quality of our questions determine the quality of our lives. And so if we're looking to raise the quality of success inside of the industry, I want to give you a couple of questions to think about. And if you're driving or if you're multitasking, you can come back to this or, you know, take a pause so you can write these down. So my first question is, what does success mean for our school? Really, really answering this question. How could we involve parents and community members and other stakeholders in our definition of success? How do we build a resilient environment that is adaptable to change and capable of evolving without losing sight of the school's core values? What strategies can we employ to develop future leaders who are capable of adapting to change and leading with a more holistic view of success? Are there particular resources like financial, technological, human, aligned with our evolving definition of success? And are there better ways to allocate resources to meet our success goals? How can we incorporate ethical and moral growth into our definition of success, nurturing responsible and empathetic citizens? And lastly, how often do we reflect on our definition of success? How can we regularly evaluate and adapt our measures of success to ensure that they remain relevant and inclusive? I hope today's episode opened your heart, opened your mind to look at success from a different perspective, to hopefully elevate your consciousness in the way that you're looking at success. If you enjoyed today's conversation and some of the questions resonated with you and you're like, oh, this is so great, I want to have this conversation with another colleague, please share this episode with them. Click the link. You could click share the episode. And I thank you for joining me for today's episode. And I hope you join us next week as we uncover the next paradox of school leadership. Thanks for joining.
If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us.
Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can click the link in the show notes or go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to optimize your already efficient systems or help you tweak some ones that need a little bit more tweaking to help you enter the 2024-2025 school year with ease, with success, and with calmness. Increase your profitability, reduce your expenses, and more than anything, just help you buy back some of your time. I look forward to seeing you there.